بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Here he said في الطهارة الصغرى for minor purity. You're allowed to wipe on the sock, on the hoof, in anything to do with minor purity. What does it mean? Anything that you require for wudu, like letting out wings, urinating, sleeping, and so on. As for if you need ghusl, anything that you require ghusl for, then wiping on the sock will not suffice you. You need to take it off and have a ghusl. The dalil in the hadith of Safwan ibn Assar radiallahu anhu, قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يأمرنا إذا كنا سفرا أو مسافرين أن لا ننزع خفافنا ثلاثة أيام ولياليهن إلا من جنابة ولا ننزع من غائط ولا بول ولا نوم. Here he said, the Messenger of Allah, Safwan ibn Assar says that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم used to order us, if we are traveling, that we do not remove our khuf for 3 days and their nights, except from the janaba. What is the janaba? Major impurity, which is because of sexual defilement or wet dreams and so on. وَلَا نَنْزَعَ, and we should not take from غَائِط, defecation, وَلَا بَوْل, urinating, وَلَا نَوْم, and sleep. And this ruling, ya ikhwa, is a consensus amongst the ulama. And the Imam al-Nawawi, he has narrated the consensus amongst the ulama. Anything you need a ghusl for, you need to remove that khuf. And now he also says, يَوْمًا وَلَيْلَةً لِلْمُقِيمِ وَثَلَاثًا لِلْمُسَافِرِ, a day and a night for the resident and 3 for the traveler. We derive also from this hadith. So it's a day and a night. What is it, a day and a night? And 3 days and 3 nights. Now, here he said, مِنَ الْحَدَثِ إِلَى مِثْلِهِ لِقَوْلِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَمْسَحُ الْمُسَافِرُ ثَلَاثَ أَيَّامٍ وَلَيَالِهِنْ وَالْمُقِيمُ يَوْمًا وَلَيْلًا. And 3 in the case of the traveler, because of the saying of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, the traveler may wipe for 3 days and nights, and the resident for 1 day and night. Here he said, for the hadath ila mithlihi. He didn't translate that. Min al hadathi ila mithlihi. From the time of impurity to similar to it. Al mashu starts from the time you lose the wudu till similar to it. Let's say you wear the khuf 4 o'clock in the morning. Adhan al fajr, 5 o'clock in the morning. You wore it 4:30, you lost the wudu on your way to the masjid. 5 o'clock, you wiped, and you entered a state of purity 5 o'clock in the morning. Now, he says here, rahimahullah, 4:30 in the morning, you lost your wudu, then you have 24 hours till 4:30 in the morning. Next day, you have to remove it. You have to what? Remove it. Is this correct or incorrect? This is what he's saying. So, this is the timing here he set up. By the way, there is nothing clear about when the timing starts and when the timing finishes. What we say here, this is one opinion. They calculate from the time you lost the wudu. Second opinion, they say from the time you wore it. If you wore it 4 o'clock in the morning, then it is 24 hours from the time you wore it. And the third opinion says from the time you wiped on the sock. So if you wiped 5 o'clock in the morning, hence become 24 hours from that time. See? So we have 3 different opinions. The first opinion that says from the time you wore it, the hadith does not help them. The hadith helps the other two opinions. The hadith, because the Prophet ﷺ said, يَمْسَحُ الْمُسَافِرِ. What does يَمْسَحُ الْمُسَافِرِ? Here he says, Ibn Qudama rahimahullah understood it from the time that you're allowed to wipe, which is when you lost your wudu. This is when you're allowed to wipe. You understand? Why did he narrate the hadith Ibn Qudama rahimahullah? To tell you that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying from the time you lost your wudu, yamsahul musafir. So now the allowance started from the time you lost your wudu. That's why he calculated 24 hours from that time. Another opinion that says from when the time you wiped. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لابس الخف يمسح يوما أو ثلاثة أيام. In another narration, it says أن لابس الخف يمسح يوما أو ثلاثة أيام. The one who wears the خف, he wipe One day or 3 days. Tayyib. In this hadith we understand what? That the time starts from when you wipe. Because actually you are called a wiper when you start wiping. Before that, you haven't started wiping. So how can you calculate something where you haven't started wiping? The hadith says, yamsahu. So you become a wiper on the sock when you start wiping. Yani when you lost your wudu, you got the allowance, but you haven't started wiping. But in the Arabic language, he says, yamsahu al-musafir or al-muqim. That means you can wipe. And you're becoming someone who is wiping when you start wiping. Because giving you the allowance is one thing, and starting to wipe is another thing. So the most correct opinion, wallahu alam, is from the time you start wipe. Because this is when actually you are becoming someone who is considered as a wiper on the sock. So let's say you started wiping 5 o'clock in the morning, you lost the wudu at 4:30 and you started wiping 5 o'clock. Then from 5 o'clock to next day 5 o'clock, you are allowed to wipe on the sock. Let's just say, for example, you prayed Fajr at 5 o'clock and you lost your wudu at 5:30. But you did not wipe till 1 o'clock. Then you have 24 hours from which time? That is the difference between the three opinions. Now, if we want to say 3 days and 3 nights, then we call them 72 hours. 72 hours. And here he said, وَمَتَى مَسَحَ ثُمَّ انْقَدَتِ الْمُدَّةِ أَوْ خَلَعَ قَبْلَهَا بَطُلَتْ طَهَارَتُهُ. Here he said, rahimahullah, when he practices wiping, but then the period expires, or he takes them off before it does so, his state of purity is annulled. We spoke about that. We said, if he takes them off, he remains on the state of purity. But if the time expires, you wore the socks 4:30 in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning, you prayed Fajr, then 1 o'clock is Adhan al-Dhuhr, you made wudu 1 o'clock, and you wiped on your socks. Now, 24 hours run, let's say 12:30 you entered the masjid and you made your wudu and wiped on your sock. Now, Salat al-Dhuhr, they pray in Jama'ah 1:15. Have I lost to my wudu or I'm still on wudu? The time has expired, hasn't it? You're still on your wudu because there's nothing to prove that you have lost your wudu, and that is the correct opinion. So whether you remove the sock or the time expires, you are on wudu. And you only lose your wudu when you lose your wudu with the things that make you lose your wudu. And then you take off your socks and then you have to make wudu and wash your feet. You understand it? And then he said, وَمَنْ مَسَحَ مُسَافِرًا ثُمَّ أَقَامُ أَوْ مُقِيمًا ثُمَّ سَافَرَ أَتَمَّ مَسْحَ مُقِيمٌ. He said, if one wipes as a traveler, but then becomes a resident or was a resident and then become a traveler, he should complete the period of wiping permitted to a resident. So here are these two issues. If someone wiped as a traveler, then he becomes a resident. Let's say you outside the city, you made wudu, wore your socks, and then you drove. Now you have the license for what? 3 days and 3 nights, 72 hours. You prayed Fajr and you drove. You didn't reach till about 3 hours before Fajr. Do you continue before Fajr the next day? Do you continue 72 hours, or you just wipe on your sock again? Or you have to remove your socks? Or you have to remove your socks? Yani, do you continue or you only calculate 24 hours? Your status has changed. You were musafir, you were a traveler and you became a resident. Then you take the ruling of what? As a resident. And these things have no intention to them. They're just, whether you like it or not, your status has changed. Then everything will change with it. Khalas, you need to take your socks off after 24 hours from the time you wiped. Alright? Let's say you spent 2 days with your socks and arrived home. Example, you drove for 2 days and then you came home. Now you came home on a state of purity, where you wiped while you were traveling on the road. You wiped, you prayed Dhuhr and Asr. You got home and you want to pray Maghrib. It's already been 2 days. Are you on a state of purity or not? Your status as a traveler to resident has changed, but have you lost your wudu? No, you haven't lost your wudu. So you remain on a state of wudu even though the time has expired for you as a traveler because you're now home. You prayed Maghrib and then you lost your wudu. you must remove your socks because now you are resident and the time has expired on you. Even though you did not consume the 72 hours, but the time expired because now your status has changed. As Salat al-Isha, now when you want to pray Isha, you don't shorten khalas because you're home. Sah? Mafhum? Another issue comes, which is if you are a traveler and you lost your wudu, then you got home and you still have time, yani the 24 hours has passed and you're a traveler, you got home, but you haven't consumed the 72 hours and you don't have a wudu, you cannot wipe on your sock anymore, you have to remove them. Mafhum? All clear? أو مقيما ثم سافر أتم مسح مقيم. Or a resident that he travels. What happens if someone is a resident and then he travels, he continues as a resident. He continues as a resident, he says. But the correct opinion is what? If you're a resident and then you travel, then you continue 72 hours. Because these things have no intention to them. Yani the wiping of the socks, it has no intention. So you wore the socks, your status has changed from a resident to a traveler, you continue then the 72 hours. You continue the 72 hours from the time of wiping. Here he also says the opinion of the imam that if you are a resident and then you traveled, then what happens? You wipe as resident. So you need to take off your socks after 24 hours. The correct opinion, wallahu a'lam, that once you started and you set off on your journey, you intended to be a traveler, and wearing the socks has no intention, so you don't need an intention to intend wearing your socks for 3 days or for 1 day. That's why the socks will become as part of your status, which is changes accordingly. Because as we said, wiping this on the socks requires no intention. Traveling requires an intention, but this is becomes as tabi', as something part of your status, it changes with your status. Quickly, we summarize what we learned. The conditions of wiping on the khuf. There are four conditions. There are four conditions. First, you have to wear them on state of tahara. And that tahara must be done by washing the feet. That's hadith al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiyallahu anhu. The Prophet ﷺ said, put my both feet tahiratayn. Secondly, the khuf, the second condition, the khuf or the socks has to be tahir. You cannot have dirty khuf or dirty socks. Dirty with najasa. When we say dirty, means has najasa impurities on it. But if it is dirty from walking with it, then that's alright. But when we say dirty, has to be free of najasa. So tahir. Thirdly, the masah has to be from Al-Hadath al-Azhar, from the minor impurity, not from the major impurity, because the only way to remove the major impurity is by what? By ghusul. Fourthly, to be done in the time that is put by the Sharia. 1 day and one night for the resident, and 3 days and three nights for the traveler. Now, just also, how do we wipe on the khuf? First, wearing the khuf does not require an intention. You don't need an intention to wear the khuf. You wear it and move on. Secondly, it has to be on the state of wudu, as we said, and the wudu has to be completed. Meaning, once you wash your feet, you have to wash both feet, then you wear. You have to wash both feet, then you wear the khuf or the socks. So, if you washed one foot and then you wore the khuf, and then you washed the left foot and then you wore the second khuf, what happens? You wore them before you completed your wudu. So you need to take them both out and then re-wear them again because your wudu isn't. You wore them before you complete your wudu. Mafhum? You wore them before you complete the wudu. The wudu must be complete and then you wear the khuf. Now, how do you wipe on them? You wet your hands and you wipe from the top of your toes, from the beginning of your foot, the beginning of your toes, wipe all the way over the foot until you reach past the ankles where the start of your leg, to the start of your leg, to the area where your leg starts. Wipe like this until you where your leg starts, which is just above the line of the ankle, just a little bit above that. Anas radiallahu anhu said, فَمَسَحَ عَلَيْهِمَا. He wiped on the both of them. So both of them had to be done at the same time. The right hand on the right foot and the left hand on the left foot. If you are fat and you can't do it, then that's all right. You can do the right first and then the left second. But the right hand with the right foot and the left hand with the left foot. This is clear? Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, if the deen is by intellect, then wiping under the sock would be more appropriate than wiping over the sock. Let's move on then with other issues. He said here, وَيَجُوزُ الْمَسْحُ عَلَى الْعَمَامَةِ. Basically, we finished the khuffain. So now we want to talk about the turban, the hijab, and the jabira. The jabira is the medical bandage. The cast, the plaster, the bandage. We'll talk about that. He said, وَيَجُوزُ الْمَسْحُ عَلَى الْعَمَامَةِ. It is permissible to wipe over the turban. What is the dalil for that? Bukhari rahimahullah narrated on the authority of Amr ibn Umayyah radiyallahu anhu, قال رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يمسح على عمامته وخفيه. Amr ibn Umayyah radiyallahu anhu, he said that I saw the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم wiping on his turban and خفيه, يعني the two خفs. So this is the dalil that you're allowed to wipe on the turban. But what type of turban? This is what we want to talk about. Because you know you have some turbans which is are very small. They can easily be removed and put. Some of them they come out with a cap. Here he says, إِذَا كَانَتْ ذَاتُ ذُؤَابَةٍ سَاتِرَةٌ لِجَمِيعِ الرَّأْسِ إِلَّا مَا جَرَتِ الْعَادَةُ بِكَشْفِهِ. Provided it has a tail and that the turban covers the whole of the head, apart from what is usually exposed to view. So here he said two conditions. The first condition, it has to have a dhu'aba. The second condition, it has to cover all the head. What is the dhu'aba and how much is all the head? The dhu'aba is the tail of the amama. The dhu'aba is the tail of the amama. Why did he put the condition? Because the kuffar used to wear turbans without a dhu'aba, the tail of it. That is how they used to wear it. And also to cover all the head except what you usually show, which is a bit of the forehead on top here. Normally that is shown. The ears come out from the amama. This is something that appears usually from the amama, from the turban. طيب, so what are the two conditions? First, to have a dhu'aba. Secondly, to cover all the head except what usually appears. What you need to know, the ulama here, because the kuffar used to wear that amama, he said you can't wipe on it. Because you're not supposed to be wearing something that is haram. Because that's a sign of the kuffar. See how the ulama were paying very much care to not to imitate the kuffar. He did not allow Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah to wipe on a amama that is worn by the kuffar. Yani some ulama, they disagreed with this opinion altogether. They said the amama that does not have a dhu'aba, also the Muslims have worn it. And as for the second condition, which is has to cover all of the head, also this condition, there is no strong proof to make it a condition. If the amama just shows bit of the head here, which is usually something the amama does not cover, can you wipe on it? Another group of ulama argued, they said yes, you can wipe on the amama because there is no strong condition to say you cannot wipe on that amama. You cannot wipe on the amama. But what is important about wiping on the amama? Is it because based on necessity? A lot of ulama, they tell you, no, it's based on necessity. Wiping on the amama is based on necessity. Because it is some of the amama the Arabs used to wear. It takes very long time to unwrap it and wrap it again. So we say, if the amama, one of the big amama that makes it very difficult to remove and put, like for example, you see the amama in Afghanistan, the big Taliban amama, 6 meters. And the amama has to be firm on the head also, like the khuffain. This is another condition. It has to be firm on the head, not the loose amama or the amama the brother that wears. You see some of the brothers wearing it, just kapla wrapping on the head on a cap. He thinks he's wearing amama. This is an amama, yes, but that is not the amama the Arabs used to wear. It was very big turban the Arabs used to wear. The small one, this is, there is no harm in it. It is easily removed. Once you remove the cap, it is, you can easily remove it. It doesn't pose any hardship. So wiping on the amama, it has to be recognized as an amama in itself, meaning it has to be big enough as an amama. Secondly, how do I know it's big enough? It's one of those amama that you feel it is very difficult to unwrap and then wrap again on the head. This is the amama that you're allowed to wipe on it. Whether it has a thu'aba or not, this is something disregarded, because in reality, yani the one that does not have a thu'aba, it's also the Muslims have worn that. It is not specifically to the kuffar. Thirdly, it has to cover the head and firmly on the head. But if something appears, as Ibn Qudama rahimahullah says, then it is what, if it is what usually appears, then it is accepted. Like the forehead and the beginning of the head, it is usually accepted. Of course, the amama has to be worn on tahara, like exactly wearing the khuf. Based on these conditions, you're allowed to wipe on the amama. So I repeat them very quickly in a small summary. The amama has to be the proper amama that is poses a difficulty in doing it and undoing it. Secondly, it has to hold firm on the head. The loose amama, it is not considered as an amama you're allowed to wipe on it. Thirdly, it must cover majority of the head anyway. And what appears from it is what usually appears from it. Normally what appears from the amama. Fourthly, it has to be worn on state of purity tahara. You had a wudu and then you worn your amama, then you're allowed to wipe on it. That is the amama. As for the shimar, the one in the Arabian Peninsula they wear, the shimar, and the Arabs they wear, or the cap, or the tarbush. Tarbush is fez, a hat, the Afghani hat, and all that, you're not allowed to wipe on them, because they can easily be removed, and also they're not considered as amama. And the hadith here speaks about the amama. And the Arabs knew the kulunsuwa, which is the cap, they knew the kulunsuwa, yet there's nothing narrated that you can wipe on the kulunsuwa. So we know wiping on the amama. Here he said, وَمَنْ شَرَطَ الْمَسْحَ عَلَى جَمِيعِ ذَلِكَ أَيَّ الْبَسَهُ عَلَى طَهَارَةٍ كَامِلَةٍ. Here he said, in every case, wiping over the respective article is permissible only on condition that he does it while in a state of complete purity. What does the Shaykh mean? The khuffain, socks, the jawarib, al-jaramiq, we explained that, al-amama, all of that has to be worn on the state of purity. And the dalil is what? The hadith in Sahih Bukhari, Al-Mughira radiyallahu anhu, he said, كنت مع النبي في سفر, I was traveling with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فأهويت لأنزع خفيه, I bowed down to remove his خف, فقال دعهما إني أدخلتهما طاهرتين. He said, leave them, I have entered them while they are pure, on the state of purity, and he wiped on them. The expiry date on the amama and on, we'll talk about it, which is the jilbab for the woman, it is the same as the khuffain. And then here he said, وَيَجُوزُ الْمَسْحُ عَلَى الْجَبِيرَةِ. It is also permissible to wipe over a surgical splint, jabira. طيب, what constitutes al-jabira? Any cover that you cover your limbs with, and you have a need for it, it is considered as a jabira. Meaning, if you have a cut, and then you have a bandage over it, or the cast, or plaster, all this is considered as jabira. How much it's supposed to cover? It's supposed to cover whatever is necessary to protect the wound. It is considered as part of the jabira. Listen to what he said here. إِذَا لَمْ يَتَعَدَّى بِشَدِّهَا مَوْضِعُ الْحَاجَةِ On the condition that it does not exceed the area of necessity. So, he said, the jabira must not exceed the place of necessity. So what is the place of necessity? Is it the wound or the area of the wound? The area of the wound. So if the jabira comes over the wound and part of the place where there is no cut, but it needed to be covered to protect the wound, then this jabira you can wipe on it. The ulama, they say, if you're covering it for, you cover parts of your limb that is not necessary. For example, your arm is cut a little bit high towards the elbow, and to cover it, just you need halfway through your arm. But because you're not paying for the bandage, you say, "I keep prepping all my arm, so what, until you get all the way to your wrist." Now that part, it is unnecessary, hence you're not allowed to wipe on it. You actually need to remove it. So what is needed and considered by the doctor that it is needed to be covered, then you cover that and you are allowed to wipe on it. إِلَىٰ أَن يَحِلَّهَا He didn't translate this. And he is allowed to wipe until he removes it. You're allowed to wipe until you undo it and remove it. So what Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah is saying, the Imam is saying that it is not limited by time. Not like the khuf, which is we will give you inshallah towards the end, the differences between wiping on the khuf and wiping on the jabira. There is some differences, and then you can distinguish between the two. So, وَالرَّجُلُ وَالْمَرْأَةُ فِي ذَلِكَ سَوَاءٍ إِلَّا أَنَّ الْمَرْأَةَ لَا تَمْسَحُ عَلَى الْعَمَامَةِ This rule applies to both the man and the woman, except that the woman is not allowed to wipe over the turban. Now, let me explain this. He says that men and women are allowed to wipe on the khuf, are allowed to wipe on the jaramiq, allowed to wipe on al-jabira. What is the dalil for that? عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المتشبهين من الرجال بالنساء والمتشبهات من النساء بالرجال collected by Bukhari. Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما said the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم cursed the women who imitate cursed the men who imitate women and cursed the women who imitate men. So this is the rule. That's why she's not allowed to wipe on the turban. Because that is imitating men. And also the man is not allowed to wipe on jilbab, as we will talk about as to come, wiping on the jilbab. Understand? And also the golden rule that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders an order, it is for both men and women until a specification came for women. Yani when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this will come in the chapter of Salat. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray as you see me pray. There is a madhab that will tell you women must pray different than men. And actually I heard some of them, wal'iyadhu billah, they mock the brother who puts his hand on his chest. They say, you pray like women. So putting the hand on a chest, they say this is for women, and men put it on or under the belly button. What we have here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli, pray as you see me pray. He said it for both men and women. When he said about Hajj, خذوا عني مناسككم, take your Hajj rites from me, yani the way to perform Hajj from me, he did not say women do it this way and men do it this way. But when the women want to do tawaf on the state of menses, he forbade them from doing the tawaf. So when there is a specification come for women, the specification is clear by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina aman, he's not only talking to men, he's talking to men and women. So, that is the golden rule. Any order that comes to us from the Sharia, It encompasses men and women, unless there is a specific specification for women or a specific specification for men, then we take that specification into recognition. Otherwise, it is for both. And that's why wiping and all that, it is for men and women. The dalil is we're going to the principle, we're going to the asal. You understand how we use the dalil? We said women are not allowed to wipe on turban because that in imitation of men, and that is cursed. As he, Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, says about wiping on the amama, he excluded the amama with that does not have a du'ab, a du'aba tail. Why? Because he said this is from the dress of the kuffar. You see the point. Because you have to pay attention. This is to do with usul al-faqah, al-rukhsa, the allowance. Let's say you're a traveler. Now you're allowed to shorten the salat. Jumped on the plane. Now do you jump on the plane to go for hajj or umrah or da'wah or whatever? You're allowed to shorten the salat. We'll talk about that when we get to the chapter of salat. But I'm just giving you the principle so you can understand it very well. You're traveling from Sydney to Las Vegas to go gamble. Are you allowed to shorten the salat? The ulama, they say no. هَذَا سَفَرُ مَعْصِيَةً, and there is no allowance for a disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you see? Someone traveling for a disobedience, the ulama will tell you, you're not allowed to take the rukhsa, the allowance from the sharia. Same thing, the issue of woman wearing a turban, that is ma'siyah, so she can't take the rukhsa. That's why when a man, let's just say, we're just giving these examples, even though we don't, and imagine they happen, but just so we can train our mind. A man wore a jilbab, a woman jilbab. As we will talk about, wiping on the jilbab, on the hijab, the head cover. He wants to wipe on it. Is it allowed for him? No, because he's doing some major sin, and he has no rukhsa in that. The rukhsa, he's not encompassed in the rukhsa. You understand it? Same as the traveler, who's a traveling in intention to do haram and major sin like gambling and so on. Here he said, إِلَّا أَنَّ الْمَرْأَةَ لَا تَمْسَحُ عَلَى الْعَمَامَةِ. This rule applies to both men and women, except that the woman is not allowed to wipe over the turban. طيب. Some scholars have said that it is allowed for the woman to wipe over her khimar. Al-khimar is the head cover. The head cover. That comes on the head. We're not talking about the face. She's not allowed to wipe on the face. Only on the one on the head. And they used as a dalil what is being narrated in Bukhari that Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, she used to wipe on her khimar. She used to wipe on her khimar. And this is narrated in Bukhari. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said, in Majmu' al-Fatawa, in khafat al-mar'atu min al-bard wa nahwihi, if a woman fear from cold or similar, masahat ala khimariha, she wiped on her khimar. Fa inna umma salama kanat tamsahu khimaraha. Indeed, Ummu Salama, she used to wipe her khimar, and she needs to wipe with this a bit of her hair. وأما إذا لم يكن بها حاجة إلى ذلك ففيه نزاع بين العلماء. And if there is no state of need, there is a difference of opinion amongst the scholars. طيب. Here, as you see, it is narrated as an act of Sahabiyya. You have to know something, that an act of a Sahabi is, if a Sahabi does something, is it a strong dalil or not? That's the point. The ulama differed greatly. And the correct opinion that the act of one companion is not a dalil. Unless all the companions see him doing that, or a lot of companions. When I say all, I don't mean the 100,000 companions. I mean a lot of the companions who are there, 20, 30 companions, they have seen him. Or Umar radiallahu anhu did something or said something on the minbar, and then all the companions were sitting and none of them objected. That's what we call. Unless it is that, then the ulama have said it's not a strong dalil. But if the companion has done that and a lot of the companions have seen him and none of them said anything, then it becomes a very, very strong dalil. You see the point? Yani one companion doesn't act, and only his student seen him doing that, and he now writes that. It's not considered as a strong dalil. But yet, it can be used, supports and give a decision on a matter like this one. If there is a difference in opinion, first the ulama said about the turban, and the khimar is similar to the turban, that is qiyas, backed by Ummu Salama, authentically narrated that she wiped on her khimar. We say the woman allowed to wipe on her khimar. But we say, out of need, she must have a need. Meaning, let's say you and your wife in a park, and the time of the salat came. She cannot, for a reason, there is no toilet, nor nowhere secluded, she can make a wudu. You give your wife a shelter so she can wash her arms without anyone seeing her, wash her face. When she wanted to wipe on her head, if she's going to undo her hijab, it's going to be very difficult and other men could see her. Very hard for you to do it in seclusion. Or she's traveling, for example, you're on the road. It's very hard for her to take and rewear her khimar. We say she's allowed to. As for the hijab the women wear today, you know there is some hijab the women wear today, the simple, easy one to take off and rewear. This is a woman, and are not allowed to wipe on it. All right? But the one that is very hard and very difficult to remove, especially the long ones, you see some of them are very long, they come as one piece from the head down, these are hard to remove. These are hard to remove. Then the woman, she can wipe on them. Now Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says that she needs to wipe some of the hair with it. So if she moves it a little bit and wipe some of the hair in the beginning of her forehead and then wipe over it, then it is acceptable wiping on the khimar in that sense. Some of them are loose and the woman, they can put their hand under and wipe under. If it is one of those loose ones and she can put her hand and wipe under and wipe her hair, would be better if she does that and not to wipe on the khimar. Now what are the conditions of the khimar? We say it is the same thing, the conditions of the amama. Has to be tight on the head, worn on tahara. But in the case of the woman, we say it has to be for a need and necessity. Need and necessity. Otherwise, she needs to remove it. And what you need to remember that, why the ulama took the act of Ummu Salama really seriously, and especially the Bukhari, you have to remember that, as Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, he posed the question for the ones who say it is not allowed to wipe on the khimar. He says, would Umm Salama do such a thing without a permission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Especially she was his wife, she had access to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at all times. Would she then do something without the permission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Now, before we go to the differences between wiping on the khuffain and the jabira, there is one more point I like to talk about, which is to do with limbs which are cut off. If someone, for example, his hand is cut off or his foot is cut off for some reason, what does he do if he's wearing a plastic limb? First, if it is cut, and let's say someone's foot is cut all the way from above the ankle, it is removed. Does he need to wash anything for wudu? No. Let's say his hand is cut off and he's wearing plastic one. You know, the medical plastic arm has a part that has to go over the arm and it covers it. What does he do? Removing the hand and then when he's making wudu to wash that arm is very difficult. That part that is covered, he's allowed to wipe on it. The plastic limb is not considered jabira, but the part that covers the place of the limb that you need to wash, you can wipe on that. But the plastic limb, it's considered nothing. So you don't wash it, you don't wipe it, you don't do anything to the plastic limb. It's only the part that laps over the place that you need to wash, that it can be wiped. Also, for example, if someone having a ghusl, yani, and he's got a plastic foot that is attached to his thigh and is very difficult to remove, especially the new electronic ones. He washes his body, he washes his thigh, and the part that it entered the thigh, that leg which is covered and overlapped the thigh, he will wipe on it. He will wipe on it. The differences between Al-Jabira and the Khuf, Al-Jabira, the wiping on it, is all over it. Not only on top. Let's say you have a round plaster over your arm. You don't wipe on top like you would with the khuf. No, you wipe all over it. This is the first difference between them. Second difference between them, the timing. The khuf and whatever similar to it from sock and so on, it is limited to certain time. Al-Jabira, it is not limited to certain time. As long as you need to have it, then you have the allowance to wipe on it. Al-Khuf and the sock are for a specified limb, which is the feet. As for the Jabira, can be for any limb. Any limb. It's not for a specified limb. That is the third difference between them. The fourth difference between them, the Khuf, you must wear it on the state of purity. The Jabira, even if you are on the state of major impurity, when they put it on for you, you can still wipe on it. Five, that the Khuf is specified for Al-Hadath Al-Asghar, the minor impurity. The Jabira is for both minor and major impurity. These are the differences between the two. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.